حضرت حکیم الامت حضرت تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ has in his kitab stated a certain point. And Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat stated that after Iman, having Iman, the best good deed is what? Very beautiful point. That if a person attains Iman and is a Muslim, after that, the next step is to do good deeds. And our attempts, our efforts are this, that we do the best deeds, afdal deeds, the greatest deeds, due to which Allah Ta'ala is pleased, and our akhirah becomes good. And this is our desire, and we make ourselves busy in ibadat, worship. But this point is a great point, that what is that greatest deed, the best deed? If we realize what it is, then we'll be enjoying ourselves. It'll be a great conclusion. And then our objective will become easy to attain, because the reward is so great that after bringing about Iman, so there are many ibadat and wazaif and practices and deeds that we can do. Many. But this is a great point to understand that what can it be that Hazrat is mentioning that after having Iman, this is the best of all deeds. So Hazrat stated that after bringing about Iman, that our own standard, every person does this deed or this amal is the best and that amal is the best and this is a lot of fadail and this is the greatest and let's do this and there's more reward, and behind everything are our hadith and statements and narrations. But that amal from the hadith and ulama scholars, which is proven from the pious predecessors, then obviously that would be a great deed indeed. So today let's listen carefully, attentively, so that we can start to do that deed, practice that deed, because life is short, years are short. So then with the fadl of Allah, we'll get a shortcut to Allah and we'll realize that this is the best deed and we'll run after it. We should do this, shouldn't we? Yes. So it is best that today is the shortcut generation. And if we can get a shortcut that this is the best deed, then we should run after it like mad. And with the fadl of Allah, we should keep practicing it. So brothers, that deed is a great deed indeed. And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah has mentioned it. And that deed is what? After bringing about Iman, having Iman, which is the best deed, is that Allah's makhluq, Allah's creation, with the creation of Allah, to be merciful with the makhluq, the creation of Allah. SubhanAllah. Now you'll say, what sort of ibadah is this? What sort of amal is this? We will say that we haven't paid any attention to this amal at all, have we? That Allah's makhluq, Allah's creation, to be merciful, to be kind, to be gentle with the creation of Allah. So we don't understand, what does this mean? If I see today that there are many deeds and worship actions, we don't understand that we should be merciful and kind and gentle and just and caring with the creation of Allah. Should we look after the creation of Allah? Think about the creation of Allah, what's good for them. That the makhluq, to give them ease, to give them a pain-free life. So it's not rahim the word that we're looking at really. The real word that we're looking at here is that with the creation of Allah, to give them ease, to give them simplicity. This is the word, aram, ease. That the creation of Allah, to give them ease in this world. And this is the real world, the word that we need to pay attention to. So this amal, why is this the greatest? Why do we need a masjid for this? Do we need wudu for this? Do we need ibadah for this? Think of all the amal we do, the deeds that we do. Yes, that we do prostration and worshipping and praying or ruku, bowing or hajj. And there are many positions, and for example, you've got the forehead or the hands, or you're paying money or you're spending money. But this ibadah, there's nothing that we have to spend out for this. Rather, this ibadah What we have to do for this worship is that it's not related to the parts of the body, rather it's related to the heart of man, our hearts. And this is the reality of this deed. This is not an ibadah used or implemented by the hands and the feet or our forehead or our body. This ibadah is done by the heart. And it's not insignificant. It's not a minor ibadah. Think about this. This is such a great ibadah, and it's been defined as afdal, the greatest deed. And that man, that human being who attains the ability to do this deed, who starts to do this deed, is stated the individual who is capable of doing this ibadah, who becomes capable of doing this ibadah, that the creation of Allah to give them ease and care. If a person is capable, if their heart is capable of doing this, that individual himself, then is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the reward I will give for this afdal worship, this greatest worship? Allah ta'ala says, I will make you my friend, subhanallah. Subhanallah, I will make you my friend if you care for, look after, and give ease to my creation. And those people before us who attain the greatest deeds, we look at their physical ibadah, their sujood, their prostration, their waking up in the night, their prayers, their ibadah, their efforts, the time that they've given up. We think that this is the reason due to which Allah Ta'ala has given them a high status and maqam. But in reality, it's not. The maqam that Allah Ta'ala said, you are my beloved and you have my qurb, is because they did this ibadah from their hearts for the creation of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala created in their hearts the emotion. And they realized and learned that Allah, we have to give ease and care and look after your creation. Now from the makhluk, there's so many different types and forms. It's not just human beings, is there? Yes, that if we take human beings, then we are distinguishing only the human beings and just Muslims, for example. No, a Muslim, can he just give care and pain-free life to a Muslim? Rather, Islam, the style of Islam is that it doesn't distinguish or say that it's just for Muslims. No, it's rather the whole makhluk of the world. Doesn't matter what religion a person is attached to or linked to or practices. The hukam in Islam is that a good Muslim, the sign of a good Muslim, he will not discriminate on people based on their religion. Rather, he will say, oh, Allah Ta'ala has created this person or this animal or this species. So there will be so much, you can say, care in the heart of the Muslim for that other person, for that other animal, or for the other form of creation, that he will do it from his heart or her heart. It won't be happening from the eyes or the forehead or the ears or the nose. That you'll see that if somebody is sitting there hungry and crying and living in poverty, then that person, he will not leave that situation unless he fulfills the need of that human being that's there crying or has a distress or a concern. We see such a great point here. That is there any worship that is greater than salah? Allah Ta'ala has given us all ibadat, and salah is the greatest ibadah, isn't it? It is the greatest worship and prayer here. But even if we look here, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated with regards to salah, prayer, this hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدَكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ مُخَفَّفْ. This is a hadith. That if Allah is giving you the tawfiq that you are praying and you are leading, for example, others in prayer, then be careful of one thing, that don't lengthen your salah, rather shorten the salah. Make it easy, because there are daif, weak people, old people in the jama'ah. There could be someone sick, unwell. So further it is stated that yes, if you want to pray a lengthy salah, then pray that lengthy salah on your own in isolation. Make it long then if you want. But when you are leading the salah in jama'ah, in masjid, in the masjid or somewhere else, then be careful. Don't lengthen, extend the salah too much. And if we think about it here, it's a big ibadah, a big worship. But Allah Ta'ala is looking after creation, human beings. There are old people, ill people, distressed people. Big ta'aleem of Islam, big education of Islam with regards to akhlaq, behavior to other people. And so when this ta'aleem ends and we don't follow this learning, these teachings, and then we don't care for others, then fasad spreads in the society. Fasad. And Islam is dishonored, disrespected, but it's all done in the name of Islam. But the reason for this is that Allah Ta'ala has created within us a beautiful condition of caring for others. When we lose that, when we leave that, then that person is not the makhluk here. There are animals, there are birds, there are ants, there are insects, there are things that fly. And Islam says even to these animals and creatures and species, we should give them ease and a pain-free life. Now, is their cat a big thing? Now, if we take a cat, it's an animal. But a woman, and she was a muttaqi, and she was a worshipper, she did ibadah, but she kept the cat hungry, and Allah Ta'ala threw her into hellfire. And there was a woman who was immodest, you can say immodest, she was a sinful woman, impure, but she gave the dog water to drink, and Allah Ta'ala sent her to paradise. This is a hadith. Clear. And today our hal, what is our hal, my brothers? What is our situation? The majority of us are in this, under this banner that we are selfish. We only care for ourselves. We don't care for others. We have ibadah and worship and salah. And we have taqwa. We put a taqwa on our own standard, ibadat and worship and everything. But the makhluk, the creation of Allah, the link, our link with the creation of Allah, we cannot see. We cannot see this. Forget about outside, even in our homes. In our homes. That our children, our wife, we don't even know that what is the situation with them. We don't realize that what is the relationship with the husband, or the father, with the children. If we look in our own homes, but otherwise there'll be a lot of ibadah, and there'll be da'wah, and a claim that we are pious. But when it comes to akhlaq and manners, then the hadith says that this is the greatest deed. The greatest deed. And the best virtue is that Allah Ta'ala says that with my makhluk, my creation, whether you are related to the person you're good with or not related, but Allah Ta'ala says everyone comes under the group of my makhluk, creation. And then if we're ready to make effort and sacrifice, that I don't care if I don't have benefit, let me give benefit to this person. Even if I get a loss of one benefit for this person. When a person has such a conditioned emotion, then he becomes the wali of Allah. Our Hazrat stated that to become a wali, you need one feeling emotion. One condition, wilayat, to be a friend of Allah, kutab, ghawth, abdal, whoever is there. It's not from worship and prayer. And we need one ibadah to get there. And if a person comes totally into this ibadah, alhamdulillah, then Allahu Akbar, that person becomes a friend of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala gives that person maqamat, status. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us. And this is a great journey we're on. We're going to the destination of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. We need to try here in this world so we can get great levels in hereafter. Otherwise, what is this we're doing this all of this for? Everyone's trying. So definitely, inshallah, we need to obviously work out on our zahiri, apparent external ibadat. But what is the ruh, the soul of all deeds, is that this deed is linked to the heart. Why? Why our hearts, why are they hard? Why is our akhlaq poor? Why don't we feel for other people? Why don't we care for others? We don't have no feelings today. Do we? Brothers, that even the father, if he's ill, then the children say, oh, send him away, just see him off. And the father, we don't have in our hearts a feeling the father is ill and we want to be detached. So let him get out from here so that we're free from serving and we don't have to help him. And until today, many things have been made. Nursing homes, old people's homes, care homes, social homes, and children when they grow up, they say, oh, take father away from here and put him into the old people's home. Tell me, is this the action of a true human being? Will our ibadah be accepted? Will my salah be accepted? Will my sajood be accepted when I'm doing this? No, we have to think about it. So for the sake of the pain in the heart, a person has been created. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala says there are many ways of doing acts of worship. Allah says there are many people, angels, who are prostrating to me. Tasbih. There are many angels doing tasbih, doing dhikr of Allah, prostrating, sujood, remembering Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the objective of why I created you. Allah Ta'ala said, I wanted to see that I created you, subhanAllah, that in your heart, do you have some softness, gentleness, care for others? Sahih Bukhari Muslim hadith, and we've heard this, and this is also a hadith of Bukhari Muslim, that Allah Ta'ala is merciful on that person who is merciful to the creation. Tell me, how many people from us, apart from the prophets of Allah, are there that doesn't need the rahmah of Allah? We have amal and deeds, but we are in desperate need of Allah's rahmah. If Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes, we'll be forgiven and we'll pass the test. Otherwise, can we present a deed of ours today on the Day of Judgment? Nobody. Even the waliwala cannot present his deeds and worship. No one, even the greatest, best person, Muslim, cannot present his deeds. Our whole life, ibadah, based on taqwa, the greatest ibadah we will have done, worship. And Allah Ta'ala says, okay, fine. All of the ibadah you did, put it to one side. And one, I gave you your eye that you saw from.
Allah Ta'ala says, compare this ni'mah I give to you to your ibadah that you've done. Can anybody repay Allah Ta'ala's favor? Allah says, your sleep in one night that I allowed you to fulfill. Otherwise, if you have a stomachache or vomiting or pain, a pain in your hand or in a portion of your body, imagine how that person's night passes. Tell me, how does that person's night pass? So in comparison to that, look how easily we sleep. We wake up with ease. We don't even realize that we slept. And what did we do? Ask that person, how valuable is the sleep of that night? The person who can't sleep. So we have forgotten this. We need to think about this. That Allah Ta'ala's control is there with us. And we never think that it's Allah Ta'ala's control that is there. And that it's Allah who allows us to achieve. We are so far back with regards to our akhirah. And our hearts, they are in the wrong position at the moment. We'll have to accept this. If our heart is not correct, then there's no power or strength or significance in our physical worship in the eyes of Allah. This example I gave to you, this Imam Sahib standing, leading the prayer. 1,000 muqtadis are behind him praying. And the Imam, how much thawab he'll be getting for leading the salah. Think about it. And then if he recites the Quran, he will get the thawab and high level. And obviously, we look at this. This is a great point. But if that person removes the haqq of the people behind him and he thinks just he starts to extend his qirat to show to the people there's somebody who's sick, ill, unwell, distressed, a child, or old, or frail. And even women used to come to Jum'ah before that. And if there's somebody who's mazur, who's weak, who's come to pray Salah in Jum'ah, but can't pray for too long, or he's dropped and fallen unconscious, then tell me that where will the thawab for the imam go? It's finished. Because there's no due regard for the people who are the muqtadis, who are following. So what this means really, there's a message here, the underlying message that Allah Ta'ala is giving, is that the person who has a soft heart, caring heart, and there are people, for example, they seat their father on their shoulders and do tawaf to assist their parents. The mother, the mashallah, they sit her on their shoulders and take her around the Kaaba to do tawaf. So if a person has high daraja, status, and he has rahm, mercy for other human beings, and gives ease to other people, cares for other people, gives gentleness to other people, looks after other makhluk, there could be somebody who's close to Allah. And we are capable that we give ease to that person. We see someone sitting down, he's a wali Allah, pious person, he's feeling cold now, I take my blanket off and give it to him. Allah, I remember my Hazrat, subhanAllah, it was severely cold in our area. And it's very cold and it's also very hot. It's a desert area, hot area, back home. So Hazrat's masjid was there. Hazrat was more than 80 years old. Hazrat was weak and he used to wrap a blanket around himself. This was in the winter, in the night time. And then one of our colleagues, without pre-warning, he came to Hazrat's company suddenly one day. And it was a night time, he arrived in the night. Then obviously, there was the masjid. In the masjid, there was the courtyard. And I don't know what time in the night he arrived. And he was lying down and he was turning around. And this is the desert. And people are there, somebody's got a blanket or a sheet. And Hazrat was in his home. And he lived nearby to the masjid, very close. Then Allah Ta'ala gave qash to Hazrat. Hazrat had a feeling that I need to leave my home and go towards the heart. He had a blanket wrapped around. SubhanAllah, I'm telling you, the wali of Allah, a wali of Allah isn't made by ibadah, he's made from caring. So he took his blanket off, Hazrat did, and he put it over his murid, my colleague. And then when he had the blanket, he felt nice and his sleep started to be easy. And Hazrat was in the cold and the masjid wasn't even open all night long. Hazrat sat there. Allah Ta'ala, and Hazrat made it easy for him to sleep, and then azan was given and the door opened and Hazrat went inside and he opened his eyes and said, whose blanket is this? And then mashallah, imagine the nur and the spirituality in that blanket, and he must have been wandering around in paradise. So the people, they couldn't dare that they take the blanket from him, but Hazrat had given it to him already. So suddenly he saw and he realized, I don't know where this blanket's come from and I'm feeling good. And he left the blanket there. Then a brother took that blanket and gave it back to Hazrat. So all night long, 0 degrees, minus 10, from between 0 to minus 10. And Hazrat Sahib, 80 years old, old man. And he wanted to give rahm, mercy, and cared for his student, who is a makhluk, the creation of Allah. So imagine the state of his heart, the softness, the gentleness. Allahu Akbar. And we don't even do this, that we're going in a car and somebody's walking in the rain and we give him a lift, come and sit down with me. We just drive past fast. Oh, I don't know him. Oh, why should I give him a lift? oh, I'm upset with this person. Oh, no, 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 he belongs to another religion, so I can't give him a lift. Islam doesn't teach this, that you just turn a blind eye and run away. Where's all this quarreling that's happening today, fighting, quarreling, violence? Is this got to do with Islam? No. Every day, we say, look at this hadith. Look at this one hadith, and we should judge that. What is the education of Islam today? Open teaching, Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim, that I'm telling you. And for us to compare and analyze that. Is this the standard of our Islam that's happening today? And such a salih, clean, pure heart of the mu'min, that after having iman, the mu'min, after having iman, the best deed, the greatest deed is that his heart should be beautiful and nice. That any makhluk of Allah, creation of Allah, he will love that creation of Allah. Subhanallah. He will have feeling and care and regard for others. So when such a heart is made, then tell me who can fight in the house, who will oppress and commit injustice to others or hit his family or relatives or children. And the reason is because we've left this action, this deed. And where does this ibadah come from? From the heart, from the depth of the heart. This ibadah of akhlaq, manners, behavior, conduct, due regard for others will come from the depths of the heart. And remember in the akhirah that we emphasize on physical worship. So what will be the scale for this deed will be the heart, the qalb in saleem. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the successful will be that individual who comes to me with a presentable, clear and pure heart. And the person in the world who has a heart full of rahmah and mercy and a good heart, that he cares for others' pain and stress-free life and looks after others, then alhamdulillah. Think about that person's status, that he thinks that I want to work for the human beings. So if this is the case with normal people, then the mother and the father, they have a high status, don't they? Unfortunate is that individual, that person, that son or daughter, that awlad, that they find their father and mother in old age, and his parents, they don't care about his money. That such an age comes, I tell you, an age comes, the human being's age comes, that he does not need any money. Rather, he needs a little bit of love and affection. Just love and care. And you can go to that person and just give him a couple of snippets of love. Then I will tell that you, that person will have such care and such happiness and gentleness. Now we look in the hospitals of this country and we visit them. And if we go there, they don't know that who is our father or son. They have nobody, no one to assist them. And those old people are lying down in the hospitals. And they are taking the swear from the nurses. I've seen this from my eyes. There was a woman, she was a patient. I was in that same ward. And I saw this game with my eyes. Subhanallah. So the nurse every day would pester her. They wanted her to leave the ward. She was old. I said to her, what's the reason that you're here? That we don't even want to stay here a minute. Why are you staying here? Why are you not leaving? She said, what can I say to you? And then she was a British woman. And she was native. She said, I have nothing at home. What will I do when I go home? So isn't it better I stay here? At least I get some food and I'm living with these. There's nobody at home who asks for me. My children, my son, I don't know where they are. My daughter, I don't know where they're gone. They left me. So what will I do when I go home? It's better if I die here. It's better if I die here, she said. Imagine the difference between our ma'ashara, society, and this. What I've just explained to you. Any daughter or son or father or mother, and even the uncle is like the father. Even the father-in-law is like the father. Father isn't just the blood father. Allah Ta'ala has given other relationships. The uncle, the younger brother of the father, is also like the father. And it's not some minor relationship, is it? And even the father-in-law is not a minor relationship. Not just your blood father, but such relationships Allah Ta'ala has given, that they are also like the fathers. The father-in-law or your father's younger brother. Can you think there's such close relationships, the father's dying and he has a son or a daughter and they're living their life with ease and they don't care about their dying father, old father. Then if our heart is like this, what is the worthlessness of our salah, of our prayer? If we look at the blood relationship and we have a bad link with them, then we will destroy other people. And these are the people who kill others. These are the people who beat others, kill others, have violence in their lives. Ajeeb, ajeeb, we see the tariqah that today injustice is spread out. How people kill other people and beat people, cannot imagine anything. Allah forgive. We see that how without mercy people are killed, they cut their necks, astaghfirullah. Violence. So when a person's heart is spoilt and black, he becomes worse than the animals. My brothers, so the meaning of everything what I'm saying, and I presented the hadith in front of you, is that don't stay in this false deception. Don't think that your ibadah will save you. Don't think your prostration will save you. Don't think your worship is the best. For the sake of Allah, definitely sit down and look towards your hearts. Look and have yaqeen that if you want to know is your heart in a good state, that when you serve somebody, when you help somebody, when you do the khidmat of somebody and your heart feels good, then subhanAllah, congratulate yourself. That mashaAllah, my heart is improving, becoming good. To serve someone and then the tears come in your eyes when you see somebody's pain. In other words, for example, the blood relationships. Obviously we see this, and forget about tears. A person, he runs after helping. He runs after helping and he assists. And you take this, you take that. Why should I do this? For example, you do this, you do that. Remember this point. So now even if a stranger stands and says that I need your help, please assist, or please, okay, you get back and I'll look after you and I'll take this. Then Allah Ta'ala's big reward will come to that person who looks after other people, creation of Allah. So here is where we fail in our lives. This life is for a few days only, and we won't get nothing from ilm and worship and just practice without the ruh, the soul. In the close to Allah, remember this point. Close to Allah. We don't know what is Allah Ta'ala's criteria, basis for total bakhshish and forgiveness. I said this before, that we have our own standards today. We have our own criteria that we've made, that this is the best deed, that's the best deed, that's the best deed. That's why in front of you, I related to you and I narrated to you the saying of a great Shaykh, Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullah. And obviously it's from a hadith that Hazrat will have mentioned this in his kitab. So it's not a minor thing. This is a portion of the deen. This is deen. This is Islam. And he was Hakimul Ummat, the physician of the ummah, the hakim. He would grab a hold everyone's problem from the root cause and explain to us our problems. So alhamdulillah, today we do a lot of ibadah. But look in your heart and look at the gentleness of your heart, the softness. Is it there that have we given ease to the makhluk of Allah? Let's look at our homes. It starts from home, doesn't it? Have we given ease and care to the people at home, in our families? So everything starts from home. So this teaching, this education that we've discussed today is for this reason, that we have our own understanding, this is afdal, that's afdal. But we don't know tomorrow that for which action, on which deed will our forgiveness come. And I'll tell you this, I'll give you an example here on this point. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah, imagine his status. And if we start praising him, then maybe our discussion will continue so much. Ulama here, scholars, I don't need to mention. It's clear. What a great imam he was, his taqwa. He was a Sufi, a wali of Allah. In every field, he was a specialist and a master. And he passed away at the age of 40. And he left behind a memory. Think about it, a memory in the whole of mankind and every generation. And a whole a group, you can say, that follow his teachings and principles and usul, the Shafi'i way. So we'll say that on which point will Hazrat Imam Shafi be forgiven? If I ask you this question, oh, he used to teach Quran, he wrote hadith, he wrote kitabs, he was a jurist, and he'll get into hadith, knew how to wake up in the night, etc. We'll say, yes, yes, there's no doubt that all of the lines and subject and career paths are great indeed, to teach hadith, to write kitabs, to give tabligh to people, teach people, and mashallah, to leave people, and those people are following him. This is not some minor thing, is it? And we'll say that eyes closed, you'll get to paradise. And what did Hazrat Imam Shafi say? When he passed away, then this is a great waqia. I've just taken one event from his life. One. That when he passed away, Hazrat Imam Shafi, rahmatullah, then his students, from one of his students, he saw his imam, his sheikh, his teacher in a dream. The student. And he just asked a question to Hazrat, sheikh, that how did you get paradise and the reward? On which deed? And listen, the answer that Hazrat gave, Hazrat Imam Shafi, Ramadha gave. So he was a great sheikh, Shaykhul Hadith, big maqam, big status. What was his answer? He said, what you're thinking is not for that reason that I'm forgiven. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. That in the hereafter, the basis for success, criteria, something else, you kept on prostrating and rubbing your forehead and your body and everyone else is swearing behind you. And you had such long sujood and you took people's money, their mal, and they're swearing. You don't know about your wife, she's swearing at you, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, somebody's ill. We don't care about anyone. We don't have regard for anyone. We're just running after wealth, 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 wealth. And is this how we'll get bakshish? And then Hazrat Imam Shafi said that what you're thinking, due to which I will have got the reward, is not due to that. He said, Hazrat, due to what? He said, it cannot even come to your mind that from all of my deeds, what is the deed that Allah Ta'ala selected? Said Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah. Listen to this point, that it's not even in your mind that what for what deed, from all of my good deeds, which good deed did Allah Ta'ala select? And then Allah Ta'ala, for what reason did Allah Ta'ala say that go Imam, and his name was what? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah. That go Imam, and I've forgiven you based on this point. So what was that point? That criteria? So there was just one Durood Sharif he said that I used to recite in the night. Allah Ta'ala saved me and forgave me for that. So we also recite Durood, you recite Durood, 100,000, this many thousand, this many thousands. All day you will have recited Durood today with the fadl of Allah, Jummah passed. But that this was a Durood without the need, you could say, or without anybody knowing. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kulla. There's a hadith, a specific hadith, Durood. So my heart is going to this Durood. That let me do a bit of tashri, but the discussion will extend so much. I don't know what point come out. The point comes out of dhikr upon dhikr. Subhanallah. So inshallah we'll speak on this tomorrow. You know, I recited this durood. So we're doing dhikr. And on this there will be bakshish, forgiveness on this durood. So Hazrat Imam said that I used to recite this durood. Allah liked my durood so much. Allah Ta'ala said that, oh Imam, look, all your deeds on one side, I don't forgive you judges, but your durood, I liked it so much. Go, I have forgiven you. Go, I have forgiven you. So do we not see this good deed? That my father is old, let me give him some water. Or my father is in Pakistan, I'm in England, Britain, my father's there and I'm here. What am I doing? Does your heart not feel? And I've seen such fathers who are far away and children I know who help. And he said that I'd like here, I don't want to leave. And they give such a big sacrifice that as long as my father is alive, I will leave everything and go and I will serve my father and I will continue to serve him. So he left everything. Is there anyone who has this feeling and who can dare to do this? For hours and some days we can serve. I ask for forgiveness. There are different types of people sitting. I don't have a link specific with anybody on this point. And in this day and age, we are all bare. We all bear. We have sins upon sins. But such a topic has come up, so I will speak about everything here. So I don't know if somebody's weak on this or if somebody's weak on this. This is not my style to delve into people's private lives and criticize. No. So I'm the worst. I am pure. What can I say to others? But part time, maybe we will go to help our parents. But is this enough? Tell me. Is this enough that we give a bit of affection to somebody part time? And then we say our duty is fulfilled. Have we ever looked in our heart that is this becoming a burden for me? Is my parents becoming a burden for me? If I go there to my parents, will I be a burden for them? Or a burden on my family, my children, my wife? Aha, we do so much fikr and worry for our children. But remember, Allah Ta'ala says, that due to whom you are not going, but yesterday you were also the child of somebody else and that person looked after you, your mother, your father, they looked after you. And today you are yourself a father, you forget. I remember an event of a person, subhanAllah. He was a father, and just like everyone's parents and my father, I'll tell you a personal event today, and this is an event about somebody who's very close to me. So he had a young child, he had a young daughter, and he went to Pakistan, and his father was old at that time. Obviously, he was young, he was married, and he was like a child to his father, and his father was strict, severe at that time, and he had a lot of, you can say, power over the family. And so his daughter was ill and she had some fits, etc. And obviously the father, he was at that time as well, he was feeling sad that where shall I take, which doctor shall I go to? Then his father came forward and said, don't worry, she will be fine. And he said that I then gave an answer to my father. Allahu Akbar. And if you stay silent, what do you know? But you don't know about this. That my daughter, she's ill, she'll die. Suddenly he became strict and then he was quiet. He said, until that day I looked at the face of my father, I can see the face of my father. Now how did I speak to my father like this? And what happened? That daughter, she grew up, and he's saying this event himself. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah once. This is Allah Ta'ala's principle. So he said, my daughter grew up, and she became a young woman, and the love, and with the affection, I brought her up, and she went into reverse gear. He said, one event took place that she stood, and in the same way she told me of the way I told my father off. And her telling me of my daughter at that time, then have yaqeen that my heart split at that time, the man said, that due to her deed of telling me back, answering back. And he said that at that time my heart split. It split. That what is happening with me, what's happened to me. But then he realized that in Islam, there is the response. It doesn't necessarily happen to everybody. It happens though to people. So what is the reason for all of this? That the arc of history is long. And compensation, revenge occurs. So if we realize that everything, our ma'amalat, all our ibadat, it is all based on one thing. Remember this point. And what is that factor? The the heart of a person, the heart. That's what everything is hinged upon. And today we don't pay attention to our hearts. We don't make effort. We don't work hard on our hearts. We don't care about our hearts. The state of affairs of heart. We don't think to make effort. All the walis of Allah, they became walis due to the effort they did on their heart. Remember this. And to do zahiri ibadah, external ibadah. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Alhamdulillah, we see our tablighi brothers. They go out. They make effort. They teach thousands of people salah, prayer. They come to salah, jama'at. We see this, don't we? They come. They learn salah. They go on hajj. And they become people who pray, etc. But the effort on the heart, this we need the whole life to do this. Remember this. Because all of the success hinges on the state of the heart. Even our ibadat, it hinges upon the state of the heart, the success. One of your neighbors is there who pesters you, for example. And there are people like this. A neighbor who pesters you. And they cry, though my neighbor is pestering me, difficult days have come. And my window, sometimes he opens this window, he does this action, noise, etc. And the neighbor becomes upset, your whole life becomes imbalanced. And it's difficult to live if you have a bad neighbor. Tell me, that we really have a need that the heart is at peace. And Allah Ta'ala likes this ibadah. So, what I will say to you is that spend your time on rectifying your hearts. And the tariqah, the methodology Allah Ta'ala has given for islah of the heart, we need to pay attention to that, work hard on that, and put effort into that. InshaAllah, when an individual sets forth on a journey and works hard, then as his heart is being made and purified, alhamdulillah, ar-raham, a feeling of due care and feelings and regard for your fellow human being or animals, that you won't even want to hurt an ant or a bird or a fly, that oh, without any reason I kill this insect, to this extent that even if you break a blade of grass, you need to sit down and think for a moment, why did I do this? A wali of Allah, a person was walking and was moving and he broke off the blade of grass. He said, come here, what did this blade of grass do to you? He said, nothing, I was just walking past and I broke it. He said, do you know that this leaf or this blade of grass was doing dhikr? He was a dhakir doing the dhikr of Allah. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah says, asabha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah says, everything in the creation, the Quran, Allah says that this leaf was doing my dhikr. And you broke this leaf and stopped it doing dhikr? Why did you need to do this? Did you have a need for this leaf? Allah Ta'ala created this leaf, gave it khuraak and food, and it was rejoicing, was happy. And Allah Ta'ala said, probably kept this leaf aside for the makhluk and you broke it off. Then do you know how many sins have been recorded in your book of deeds? Aha, so this is Islam, our Islam. We, oh, fire a bullet and kill this person, kill that person. And this can not a Muslim who does this. I don't think so, no. Cannot be. Oh, so this is the heart. We need to make our hearts. And if we work hard on our hearts, and the first step that we need to do to work hard on our hearts is what? As I said in the hadith, is stated that after Iman, the greatest deed, the best deed is what? To care for others and help others. So Allah Ta'ala says that if this is the afzal ibadah and the heart should feel and care for others, then Allah says, wala dhikrullahi akbar, that the greatest, Allah Ta'ala says, what deed is the dhikr of Allah? Because dhikr of Allah makes a human being great, takes him to the heights. Not because I'm doing dhikr, I'm remembering Allah, so I'm the best. No. Why? Because dhikr of Allah purifies the heart of the mu'min, makes it shafa and pure. And we've heard this also. Though when I start doing dhikr, I'll start doing dhikr when I become pious. Imagine this. Has it ever happened that you said, I'll become clean first, then I will go and have a bath. And I'll put scent on and perfume and wear nice white clothes, then I'll go and have a bath. We go to have a bath, obviously when we're dirty or smelly, or have some contamination, that's when we make the effort of Allah. So we're not going to wait out. Of course we are dirty, etc. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the best solution. The best solution. So at least a person should do twice ghusl. Give ghusl to your heart. In the day, twice we should do ghusl on the heart. Allah Ta'ala says time and time again. Morning and evening, about dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says this time and time again, that whenever the dhikr of Allah is mentioned, Allah says two things in this here. Allah Ta'ala says, give it a time, morning and in the night, and secondly, dhikran kathira. So two elements, two criteria. Allah says, you have to do dhikr, my dhikr, morning and evening. You have to do this ghusl if you want to become a good human being. If you want to become the best human being, with the best action of caring for others, then Allah says, you must do the action of dhikr of Allah First of all, point number one, in the morning until Ishraq, and in the evening from Maghrib till Isha or after Isha. So we have to do this twice. And then it stated, dhikra kathira, and after that walking around the day, you can do dhikr of Allah as much as you want, continue to do as much as you can. So the human being who takes the dhikr of Allah like this, then alhamdulillah, his heart starts to become clean and pure. And the person all his life long doesn't think, becomes old, doesn't know what is the dhikr of Allah, what is the remembrance of Allah, what is dhikr in the morning, what is dhikr in the evening, what dhikr is taking place. Oh, all I know is I've said subhanallah and I've done dhikr. That's it. Subhanallah wa bihamdi for recita am adhakir. That there are different forms and different methods and recitation of dhikr. This is tasbihat. Dhikr is everything. Quran is dhikr. Recitation of Quran is dhikr. Doing tabliq is dhikr. I've said this before. Speaking now is dhikr. To give food to your wife is dhikr. To earn for your children is dhikr. All of this is dhikr. But the specific dhikr about which Allah says, wala dhikr Allah yakbar, this is that dhikr due to which the heart is cleaned, purified. That is the real essence of dhikr. So this, only the wali of Allah, the doctor, the master physician spiritually, he will tell us, the Hazrat, tell me, I know tasbih subhanallah, subhanallah wa bihamdi, everyone's reciting this, we know that this, but tell us that dhikr that is specially going to clean our hearts, oh Allah, that we can do regularly. And for this, we need to go to the mashaykh, the wali Allah, who can teach for us to attend this. We don't want to go to the wali Allah. We don't want to use our feet and hands to go towards the success and the basis we've got to become pious. And we say, no, we're happy. And when that person walks through that door, then he will realize that what is the state of his heart. But if we haven't cleaned our hearts, if we haven't washed our hearts, we haven't used soap, and we haven't implemented the deeds of heart, then tell me, how will your heart become clean? Will it clean itself automatically? Can it be, has it ever happened, that you get this cloth and put it in front of the washing machine on the floor? Wake up in the morning, is it washed? Why isn't it washed? I put it in front of the machine. All night long the cloth was in front of the machine. It hasn't washed. What's the reason? So, for example, if you put, oh, I put my clothes next to the iron. Why weren't my clothes ironed? Will they iron automatically? So obviously it's essential for us. Inshallah, we will try hard. We should make effort that we make such an environment, a society, that morning and evening dhikr with the regularity. Alhamdulillah, collective dhikr, then that's great as well. Nur ala nur, and be included in that. Go to the gathering. And when a person, I tell you one point here, is that if you give invitation, oh, he's in the game of making murids, and that he's trying to feed people, he wants murids and followers and servants that come become my murid, that's why he's helping others. No, such big points I've just mentioned to you, that if we have aql and understanding and awareness, then can we think in our minds that am I trying to build murids or have more students? No, there's an open point here. If there's a majma, a dhikr gathering, go and sit and be included in that gathering, end of story. There's nothing else left to it. So there are two things. One is washing and cleaning the heart, and the second is the reward that Allah Ta'ala will give. Allah Ta'ala says, I like it so much, this amal of yours. Why is there so much reward for dhikr? Allah says, I like my dhikr so much that you do, because this amal that you are doing is not for my sake, Allah Ta'ala is saying. Say another subhanAllah, beautiful point is coming, Mawlana, listen. There's a point I'm giving to you, establishing that this amal you're doing for me, Allah Ta'ala says, giving you so much reward. How much reward? That as soon as a jama'ah, a gathering forms and does dhikr well, and then finishes the gathering of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, I gather all the angels in the heavens and I say to them, be my witness that this jama'ah that has just finished doing dhikr, I've forgiven all of them. Subhanallah. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala says, that can that word then be eliminated or moved away or rubbed out? That if somebody gets once in his life bakshish, will Allah Ta'ala send that person to Jahannam? Such a great reward has been given, for which reason? Allah says, not for this reason that you should remember me ongoing and ongoing. No. Allah Ta'ala says, the link of this ibadah is with my akhluq. You are washing your heart, cleaning your heart, and my makhluq will benefit from you. And that's why I've given you this reward. Subhanallah. So this is the great inam and reward for dhikr, and it's linked with what? The makhluk, the creation of Allah. This, so sujood, prostration is the greatest about the salah. When you're going to sajda, Allah Ta'ala says you can get miraj, the feeling of miraj, ascension to the heavens. In one majlis, Allah gives this reward. And then when the angels ask, Allah, there was a man in the gathering, he was dirty and pure, he didn't come to do dhikr, he didn't have the intention, he just came by chance looking, Allah Ta'ala will say, what will people say? Allah will say that this is such a great portion of land, such a great place, we can have majlis. I don't look, Allah Ta'ala says, who's come, who hasn't gone, with which niyyah? What I see, that I was included in that gathering, and the other people got bakshish as well, forgiveness as well. So where Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy comes, that every day, morning and evening, we have these majalis, that I tell you, on that piece of land, that's the greatest reward for those people on that piece of earth. The greatest rahmah and rain is falling down. The weather, so much dhikr, the morning and evening. Always the majlis of dhikr is existent in the house of Allah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. There's so much a great reward, such a great reward that's falling down on that portion of land, that area, that town, because so much dhikr is being done. Allah Ta'ala gives a massive reward to that environment. For example, in the father, if Allah Ta'ala installs so much affection and love, for example, or somewhere else, that we see that this land that was brown before, barren and wild and dead, but after a while we see it's harvested and there are fruits, there are peaches and apples and pomegranates, and the juice came out, and such great juice came out. Though, my friends, I'm enjoying myself after eating. This is a great thing that I've eaten or drank, and I'm enjoying myself. And how much you'll be enjoying yourself at that time? The same way the ruhani, the spiritual gatherings, the dhikr in the morning, you go, there's dhikr in this gathering, in the evening, that masjid, and that gathering, and after asr or after maghrib, no place has gone empty handed, that there's no, that the dhikr of Allah is not happening there. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So who speaks like this? It's those angels who Allah Ta'ala selected that go in the dunya, go to the majalis of dhikr and seek and find them. So what do we look for in life? We look for that thing which is rare, which is valuable. When something is rare, then we look for that thing. The search party goes, Allah Ta'ala says, you have to look for this, look for this, look for this. But such a portion should come that the angels say, what's the need for influence and backup? Because the dhikr of Allah is happening there all the time. And the dhikr is successful. Subhanallah. So this is why I see in Bolton, with the fadl of Allah, is getting the great word of Allah. We do dhikr in the morning in Masjid Zakariya. And then Jummah time, Zakariya Masjid. There was a majlis after Jummah. In the evening just now, a couple of hours before then, here Alhamdulillah we started to do the dhikr of Allah. Now the night is here, 3-4 hours time again we'll get up and do the dhikr of Allah. And then if we push each other, we'll do more dhikr of Allah after that. When in the evening we'll go to Masjid Aisha. So great, great opportunities Allah Ta'ala has lined up for His rahmah, for His mercy. And we are so miserly that we don't come. Subhanallah, such a big rahmah, we're running away. Running away. My friends, take the benefit from the rahmah of Allah. Two benefits. The person who takes the benefit from the rahmah of Allah says, Shakartum la azidannakum. I give promotion to that person. Promotion. And the ungrateful person, Allah Ta'ala says, then Allah says, washkuruli wa la takfurun. Those people who reject me, then I am unhappy with those people. So we need to be included in group one. The first group is, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we do dhikr and we make our hearts and we spend time and effort. We should create a link with the wali of Allah, and we should learn the dhikr of Allah from the shaykh, from the wali of Allah, and do dhikr in that way. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.